from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, in our opening half hour, we'll discuss the failure of gun reform measures to get passed in the United States Senate, followed by a half hour all about the forensics of finding those responsible for the bombings at the Boston Marathon. That's all ahead in this morning's opening hour, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. In a setback to gun control advocates, the United States Senate rejected several measures on Wednesday, including a bipartisan compromise to expand background checks for firearm purchases. At a news conference, surrounded by relatives of those killed in Newtown, Connecticut, the massacre there, an angry President Obama said lawmakers had caved to special interests and called it a shameful day for Washington. We want to discuss in this opening hour the vote and look at the prospects for future of federal gun control legislation. Joining us, Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent with The Takeaway from Public International and WNYC. He's with us from Capitol Hill this morning. Welcome, Todd Zwillick.
Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. And we also want to welcome Heidi Presbella, who is a congressional reporter for Bloomberg News. And welcome to you. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
And we're expecting momentarily to connect with Senator Barbara Boxer. Let me, if I may, begin with you, Heidi Presbella. This is, in fact, one of the first things I was going to ask Senator Boxer, a major defeat for President Obama and the Democrats, isn't it?
Well, it's a major defeat because if you think back to where we were after Newtown, it was almost unthinkable for a lot of these Democrats that we would not do anything, at least on background checks. In fact, they proposed measures that went far beyond that, banning weapons hardware, high-capacity magazines, assault weapons. And so I think there's a lot of Democrats who couldn't imagine that we would be where we are today on background checks, and even at that, a watered-down version of expanded background checks. Because remember, Democrats had wanted universal background checks. That means checks for all weapons purchases, including private transfers between individuals. This bill, what it was going to do was simply close loopholes, exceptions in commercial transactions. So there's gun weapons purchases that take place over the internet and private transactions at gun shows that currently are not subject to background checks. It was just going to end those exceptions. So that is a very modest step compared to where we were with the agenda post-Newtown.
This is watered down and skeletal, and yet it couldn't go through. And Todd Zwillick, certainly the blame is being cast at the NRA, Republicans caving in. In fact, Senator Feinstein said, where are their guts? But a lot of it was timing, wasn't it? I mean, when you think about, for example, the fact that the president was spending a good deal of time with sequestration in the budget.
Well, timing is always important in legislation. And in hindsight, who knows? I mean, to say it was all timing, you then have to assume, geez, you know, if the Boston hadn't happened, then the news would have been focused on this and not that, and the votes would have been different. We can't know that. These things happen in the context that they happen. The sequestration discussion has actually come up in the context of a lot of this stuff, you know? If we're going to keep sequestration in place, we're robbing first responders of their money. Look at Boston. Timing interacts in all things on Capitol Hill and in all things in politics. So it's really impossible to know. There is a lot of second-day carping about the White House's strategy, about their outreach, about their messaging in red states. Let's remember, it's not just Republicans. The Democrats lost four of their own, even though the final tally says five. It's actually four because of Harry Reid is a no vote in that column, but he is a yes. He changed his vote just for procedural reasons. It allows him to bring this back up at some later date. But there are three red state Democrats who are up for re-election. That's Mark Begich in Alaska, Mark Pryor in Arkansas, and Max Baucus in Montana, all Democrats, all up for re-election, all no on the Manchin-Toomey background checks compromise bill. Heidi Heitkamp is from North Dakota. She's not up for re-election, and she was still a no in the Democratic column. Big disappointment to the White House.
Let me, if
so
I may.
They can't blame just Republicans, and they can't blame just timing.
I'm sorry, Todd Zwillick, but we have Senator Boxer with us, and I wanted to go to her. She's, of course, lead author of a school safety measure that was included in the gun safety bill and was a strong supporter also of Senator Feinstein's assault weapons ban and other measures to reduce gun violence. And just off the Senate floor, Barbara Boxer, glad to have you back with us in forum. Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Thank you.
You must be terribly disappointed.
Heartbroken is the word, and perplexed. And, you know, I heard your guest say, you know, a few Democrats voted wrong. Yes, he's right. 90% of Democrats voted right, from my point of view, for background checks and others. 90% of Republicans voted against background checks and other initiatives. And I think this is going to be a very big national issue in the midterm elections. I really do.
Well, where do you go from here? I mean, Joe Manchin has said the fight will go on. He,
yes,
of course, is one of the bipartisan sponsors of the very scaled-down agreement to do background checks. And you had this major campaign with families from Newtown, with Gabby Gifford. And again, it's a loss. It's a big loss for the Democrats and for the president. But where do you turn now?
I don't view it as a loss for Democrats. I'm sorry. I view it as a loss for the American people, 90% of whom supported background checks. This is so far beyond partisanship. Where do you go? You go where you went every time you lost before, whether it was the Clean Air Act or the Safe Drinking Water Act or any of the landmark laws. You have to take the case to the American people. They have to be motivated. They have to demand that their representatives represent them on this issue. It has to become a very important issue. You can't give up. And I would say, you're right, the background check bill was scaled back. It was modest, but at the same time, it would have made a huge difference. Because, as you know now, if someone wants to avert a background check, they just don't get a gun in a store. They go to a gun show. They do a private sale. They get straw purchases. So this would have really ensured that those background checks took place. It would have made a huge difference, I think.
And what about those who say it probably wouldn't have passed the House anyway, or when you say that it wasn't a defeat, there has been a great deal of criticism over the fact that perhaps things got slowed down by the budget and by sequestration and maybe not getting a coalition together to reach over to gun owners or to the NRA, even though there's 90% approval, as you say, of this.
Well, that's just not true. 74% of the NRA members supported what we were trying to do. You're not going to change Wayne LaPierre. Those guys, they're just in the pocket of the gun manufacturer. So some of the things that are being said, the president didn't try hard enough or he had to deal with a budget. Of course he had to deal with a budget. Of course he has to deal with Syria. Of course he has to deal with North Korea. This is a great country and there's many issues going on at once. All I'm saying is the votes aren't there and the votes eventually will be there. One of the most perplexing votes, I thought, was the vote of Senator Flake from Arizona, who just got elected. John McCain voted the right way on background checks for them. Gabby Giffords was here and came to the Democratic caucus. She spoke to Senator Flake. How he, coming from Arizona, could vote no on this is really perplexing. And this is a government of, by, and for the people. That's who we are. And when the people are for this by such incredible numbers, it's inexplicable.
Well, the gun lobby has sort of made this into, in fact, the Huffington Post says now instead of death panels, we've got gun registry. That's the new death panel, in other words.
Well, exactly. They made stuff up. You know, you make stuff up. As a matter of fact, Manchin's bill was so strong on it, it prohibited it and said they put people in jail if they kept the records. So, yeah, but honestly, really, I don't think that members who voted with the NRA believed that. I think, and I said this in the New York Times, and I've never used this word, we saw cowardice on display here. And I have to tell you, I remember back when I voted. It was a very dark day for me and for many of my colleagues. yesterday, and I've gone through a lot of dark days. I remember when I cast a vote against the Iraq War. I was so unpopular at home and nationwide, and it was difficult. But I knew in my heart, even though I was very worried and it was a tough situation, I think it was worse for me yesterday because I couldn't figure out why this happened with 90% of the people being in favor of background checks. That was what was so perplexing and demoralizing.
We're talking to Senator Barbara Boxer, and I would be remiss if I didn't, when you're talking about casting votes and positions you had, if I didn't ask you about your failure to support filibuster reform.
Could you?
That's a comment.
I do. And I will tell you what I have supported. Doing away with the filibuster for nominees and for judges, but on issues, I can tell you because I was here during Newt Gingrich, we would have no Clean Air Act, we would have no Safe Drinking Water Act, we would have no Roe v. Wade if we didn't have a supermajority requirement. So it's very easy to say, do away with it. On the other hand, if you look at history, you can see that when the founders said, we're the saucer to cool things down here. So you really have to be careful with these reforms. But I believe in the talking filibuster. People should stand through the night, through the day. But I do support reform.
And you do believe that you can find perhaps more courage from your Senate colleagues who voted, from your perspective, the wrong way?
I think they have to be. They have to be replaced. I think the people have to say, no, this isn't right. You're not representing me. You're not doing anything to make me safer. And, you know, I think one of my colleagues from Connecticut, they've been so magnificent through this, said there's a sort of a vision that you think the NRA people have, not the members, but the leaders, which is, you know, the way we should go in America in the future is everybody's walking around with their gun on their hip. And, you know, whoever wins, so be it. It's not a vision that speaks well of the future. And we have to have sensible gun laws. And if I could give a shout-out to my colleague, Senator Feinstein, for her courage, her strength. I really talk to you with a heavy heart, but I never give up hope, never.
Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat from California, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, we have Todd Zwillick with us, Washington correspondent for The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC up on Capitol Hill, and Heidi Presbilla from Bloomberg News, who's a congressional reporter there. And you can join the conversation here. This is only a half-hour segment, so if you have questions or comments, responses to Senator Boxer, questions for our two political analysts, we welcome your involvement in the program, and now would be the time to call, whether you're listening to us on radio, Internet, or a Sirius satellite. Feel free to join us. Toll-free, 866-733-6786. Again, we welcome your calls now. I'm going to weigh in on what has been a serious setback for gun control advocates, with the U.S. Senate rejecting a proposal yesterday to expand background checks for firearm purchases. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Or go to our Facebook page or email us, kqed.org, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Todd Zwillick, we should probably say that this was not the only loss. There were other amendments.
There were nine. In fact, it was a mini votorama on the Senate floor yesterday on gun control. So Manchin, Toomey, background checks defeated. As Heidi said, high-capacity clip ban defeated, assault weapons. There was a Republican sort of background check enforcement / mental health amendment that was defeated that Democrats considered a poison pill anyway, would have brought down the bill to the extent that it's still standing. Several other measures. There were measures to expand gun rights as well. There's a concealed carry reciprocity amendment, which means if you're in a state that has concealed carry laws, let's say Virginia, which is across the river from Washington, D.C. here, and you go to another state that has concealed carry like Texas, one would have to honor the permit of another if you were visiting or traveling through. That's actually an expansion of current gun rights. There were measures that expanded ability to transport guns over state lines, cross-jurisdictional purchases as well. So it wasn't just gun control. There was gun expansion. Everything went down. And when that happens in the Senate, you are at a legislatively defined impasse. There is not 60 votes for any approach. Right now, there are not 60 votes for the base bill, which still survives on the Senate floor until Harry Reid kills it. There are a couple more amendments to be voted on today, one simply expanding mental health and substance abuse services with an eye toward reducing violence on the part of people who do suffer from mental illness, and another amendment as well. And when all that dust settles, Democratic leaders here have to determine if there is a way forward. This 93% business, or this business of the president saying this is round one, or Harry Reid saying we're not giving up, take them at their word. But 55 votes on the background check expansion means there are not the votes to go forward with that now. They may need an intervening election to, as Senator Boxer hopes, get rid of senators who disagree with her, get rid of congressmen who disagree with her. And it brings me back just finally to something Mike Thompson just said. Mike Thompson is from California. He is an advocate of the Manchin-Toomey background checks proposal over in the House, and he has a Republican co-sponsor from New York, Peter King, on that. He told the press a little story about how he was trying to lobby another GOP California member on background checks. He didn't name the person, and said, gee, don't you know that this has 93% support? Don't you know that 93% of people want background checks? And he says, the Republican said to him, yeah, I've seen the polls. 93% support background checks. But you know what? Not a single one of them has called my office. And that was his answer.
Well, it prompts me to ask you, Heidi Presnell, if I may, if the president was correct in your judgment when he said, as he did in the Rose Garden, it all came down to politics.
Well, I think Todd's little anecdote there is very telling, because we've had, in the end, a case of what we've always had with gun control, which is the case of a public, an apathetic majority over a very passionate minority that was very active up here. You saw this time not only the NRA being active, but some of these outside groups that arguably, you know, Mike Thompson, when I talked to him earlier, said, oh, the NRA, they're the moderates in this. You should see some of the ads that some of these other groups are running out against Republicans who even think of doing anything.
Can we name some of those groups?
On gun control. Well, the Gun Owners of America, for instance, has been trying to compete with the NRA. They have a much smaller membership, but they advertise themselves as the only anti-compromise or non-compromise, you have to look up the exact language, gun control group or gun group in Washington.
Which is sort of like Grover Norquist, any kind of gun reform legislation.
That. Yeah. You know, I talked with Susan Collins off the floor the other day, and she said, you know, she came out eventually in support of background checks, but prior to that, she was working on a trafficking measure, and she said, I had these groups I've never even heard of before running ads of my face morphing into Barack Obama and completely misconstruing my position on guns, because at the time she was only talking about doing measures on trafficking. Scott Ridgel in Virginia had a group running ads against him saying he wanted to create a gun registry, and some of the same shenanigans with, you know, his comparing him to Barack Obama. And he told me about a month ago, he said, look, good men and women are checking out because they're just not the intensity on the other side. Now, I think Todd's point about the next election is spot on, because what you're going to have in this next election that you haven't had in the past are a host of outside groups providing a counterweight. Now, we don't know yet if they'll be as effective or as strong, but you have a number of them, groups like the Mayor's Group, groups like the Progressive Change Committee, which I just see coming across my desk this morning, has already started to run full-page advertisements against those Democrats who voted against this. You have Organizing for Action. They're going to be holding some events, I think, soon on this, at least praising the Republicans who voted with them. And so maybe they will provide a counterweight. I think what Democrats are hoping that it might even happen before the election. Things will be a little quiet around here with immigration in committee next month, and really they say it's up to the public. If there's a big public backlash here, they may have an opportunity to bring this back up, tweak it a bit, and bring it back up, but that's all in the hands of the American people.
Heidi Presbula, again, is congressional reporter for the Bloomberg News, and let me get to some of your comments here. Beth writes on Facebook, as a supporter of the Second Amendment, I suggest what is being missed in this whole firearm discussion is the fact that we need fully funded mental health care in this country, and goes on to write, why punish law abiders because of a few law breakers? Drunk drivers kill or maim lots of people each year, yet we aren't out to ban vehicles. And Max writes, after Newtown, there was an obvious and large consensus to fix the problems with background checks and gun show loopholes. If those were the only items on the agenda, the bill could have passed. But Dianne Feinstein decided to make this also about magazines and assault weapons, and those are not consensus issues. By dragging them out and making a lot of noise about them, Feinstein helped rile up the NRA base, and now we have no reform. Feinstein has no business blaming the NRA and other lobbyists when she did a lot to help them beat her. It was her own bad tactics. And another listener writes, if 80% of voters want controls, why shouldn't all the no-vote senators resign because they're not willing to represent their constituents? Let me bring some of your calls in. And let's begin, Frank, with you. Good morning. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if one way to harness this 90% that everybody's talking about might be to go to the underlying issue, which is to proposed a constitutional amendment to say that the Supreme Court's current interpretation of what the Second Amendment means is wrong, as extensive as is currently being said. And in effect, do exactly what the far right wing is afraid of, which is, yes, we are coming to take your guns away, but we're going to do it in the state houses of America.
Well, a constitutional amendment is no easy task, but it certainly may indeed come up, and I thank you for bringing it up. I want to bring as many of your calls on in the small amount of time we have left. Let me go to Steve next. Steve, you're on.
Hi, Michael. Wanted to add another item here, which doesn't get a whole lot of airplay, perhaps because there's no solution to it. But for your listeners, the vast majority of whom I suspect are Californians, we are being vastly underrepresented in the United States Senate. California's population would require the next 22 or the smallest 22 states in our union. We get two Senate votes. They get two times 22, 44 votes. So as much as we love Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein, their votes are almost irrelevant to any big discussion like this. And that's a mass distortion of democracy. Thanks.
Well, thank you for that call. It's fascinating, Todd Zwillick, to realize the first two callers are talking about changing the system. And I guess this has gotten people's ire to that point where they're looking for those kinds of remedies.
Yeah, we can talk about math. I mean, the second caller is not interested in my civics lesson, which is that's the point of the Senate, which is to equalize votes between the small states and the large, and the House is where you have proportional representation, where somebody from Rhode Island is not interested in a complaint from California in the House because their delegation has, 53 or 54 members. But let's also talk about another kind of math just really quickly. And 93%, okay, Michael, and I'll do this fast. It is true in the poll, 93% of people say, I support background checks. They say, do you support them? Sure. That's far, far, far different from the people who aren't calling Mike Thompson and other members of Congress. But you know what? Here's another number, 33 to 35,000. That's the number of people who have consistently and unchangingly died from gunshot wounds over the last 10 years, every year in this country. And let's be honest, Americans are fine with that. There has never been a clamor to reduce that number. There is a clamor when there are Columbines and Newtowns and Aurora shootings, which are high profile and tragic and terrible. But there is no clamor to reduce the 35,000 Americans who die every year, mostly from handguns. And so overall, on the chronic basis, Americans are pretty much fine with guns.
Okay, we've got seconds left. Heidi Presbula, where do you think this is going to go next? Other than the next election?
This is going to the outside groups. That's what I'm doing right now, as I'm calling these outside groups to find what are you doing, how quickly are you doing it, how much money are you going to put behind it, because they do have a small window here to try and bring...
Thank you both. Thank you, Senator Boxer. Out of time.